going to have switch decaf, isn't he?
I am a decaf.
Oh, Lord, that's scary.
He's acting as if he doesn't smell a piece of chocolate this morning.
All right, various issues.
We are live. It's the County Commission. Our first order of business this morning is with Roman Bridge.
There you go.
Randy, would you like to begin? I would like to find my agenda. Here we go.
That's his agenda, too.
Got it.
I'll give you a list of topics there. I did add one on there or two on there than what I'd sent to you, gentlemen, previously or sent to Nikki. First one, we talked in a previous meeting about the Devil's Tea Table Road, okay. The narrow section along the bluff.
Yes.
And I'd asked Travis Haar with Archer, HDR Archer, to take a look at it and kind of help give me an estimated cost to what would it take to improve it.
Okay.
And I'll give you that for you guys to review.
Okay, am I missing something?
Estimate cost is at the bottom there.
Oh, I see that. There's a lot of commas in here. For what project? I guess I'm not...
This is the narrow bluff on the Devil's Tea Table Road.
Okay.
It's a...
close to... up from the Beaver Creek Bridge, upstream.
We talked about this two or three weeks ago about safety concerns.
Right. Dwayne Collins was here.
Incredibly narrow. It's dangerous.
I think we're going to have to take this in 15 equal payments. The highlighted number is the number.
I knew it was going to be high. But I mean, it's going to be.
I'm telling you, that's why I said, "What number am I looking at?"
It's not an easy project to do because of the high bluff and the creek running along there and the steep embankments. But it is a dangerous.
Here's how that looks.
Well, I think
there's this huge bluff that comes down to where the road is.
Right.
And then this is another part of the bluff that just drops straight down.
Was it old
to where the creek is?
Old trail, wasn't it? They just turned into a road, basically.
Yeah, I mean it was a road for many years.
And now this is eroding, but the thing is, it just drops straight down into the creek.
So what you're talking about is cutting into the bluff.
Cutting into the bluff, and also trying to stabilize on the lower side of the road, because right now we've got so much erosion happening, it's eating into the road surface itself.
Just keep on going. I know today. That's pretty darn expensive.
But anyway, that's something to look at.
So let's see. By myself, we should just go ahead and approve this? Or?
What's the usage on that road?
We can. We need to get you traffic counts, actually...
there are few property owners, but there is quite a bit of traffic.
Yes.
Is that fairly stated?
Yes. Several people use it. It's an area where they do a lot of fishing, mm-hmm. an area where they go through to hunt different areas. It lays all on core property, so... there would be permits to obtain.
Is there any possibility at all, do you think, even a remote possibility, we might get the Corps to help in this financially?
That would just have to be a meeting. I took one of the Corps rangers and showed him this road and erosion and what would be a possibility of doing some bank stabilization. He said that would be... easily done. I mean, obtain the permits. Now, whether they help or not, we didn't get into that. So,
well, obviously, I can't speak for the county commission, but I think that we should pursue the possibility of getting them involved from that perspective, because we're a heartbeat away from something happening that shouldn't happen down there any day, and you never know what's going to happen now or 5 years from now.
Right.
Am I wrong about that?
No, I mean, it's at a point where...
I mean, this has been a long time since I've been there, and it was bad then.
Right. what I'd like, if you get a chance, you need to drive the road and you can see the.
I will.
I'll show you the couple of areas that's really, one area that really concerns us is there's not an easy way to fix it. And it's not going to get any better. It's going to actually get worse. And it's going to get to the point where vehicles won't be able to go through it. So it's something that we're going to have to address one way or another. So.
My big fear is that, of course, that's closing. And we've got.
It's going to affect several people to close it, and because it's going to make such a.
I'm not advocating that.
A big drive to get around to get back to the same area from where a lot of them live and use that. So. But anyway, that's what we got from them, and estimated costs, and that's not really out of the line, but by the length of the project that we need to fix to make it a two-lane safe road, it's going to be a big project. So, but anyway, that's think about, and we'll talk about it again. I'll try to get talk more with the Corps of Engineers.
I would really like to know what we need to do and who we need to talk to see if there are federal funds out there. And we know they are. They utilize them in different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can, I mean, that's just such a huge amount of money. So you're going to chat with the Corps more?
Mm-hmm. I'll contact them and see if I can maybe have them do a site visit on it. The next item I have, we talked about this in a previous meeting, and that's the four-way stop intersection on Mountain Grove in Shamblin. And we were talking about putting rumble strips, something to get people's attention as far as a four-way stop. I did talk to engineers and a couple of vendors while we were in Kansas City about this to try to find a product we could put in the road that would work for that. But there wasn't anything available that wouldn't affect the snow removal. The best suggestion they come up with is cutting out a section of the road and using concrete and making your own rumble strips out of concrete that would be there permanently. He's still flush with the road, and so I'm going to investigate that a little farther to see what type of surface in the concrete to make the rumble strip, and I think that would be the best way to go as far as that, and put it in each oncoming lane to the stop sign. So there'd be four of them installed in that from all directions. So,
do you think that it's not just the fact some people don't stop, it's the speed?
We want to get their attention to, we put up the stop ahead, but
my point is they know it's there.
They know it's there.
They know they're intentionally violating it.
Right.
They're just shooting through it. And will this deter that? My opinion, no. But we need to.
Know,
we definitely need to talk about that.
Okay.
Is it going to be too difficult to vacate that one strip through that property and go back to the county one county road that we've got?
That was a.
That's a, you go straight down, it's a T or a 90-degree turn, and you go back up and turn left at the church or continue on.
That was a issue we dealt with in past years, and that's something we may look at too. I don't know. That's where I'm at with it. Right now, we haven't done anything except I'm trying to figure out what would be the best fit there as far as a rumble strip. We've had our crews kind of trying to get this other shop up in line, so we've been addressing that. Once we get done with that, then we can
that
try
Mountain
to
Grove
do something
Road,
here. So.
Jim?
Yes.
Which is where we've had the people who are not stopping, they're speeding. So the thought was whether or not to put a rumble strip in there.
Yes.
Talking about doing that, they're finding that the suggestions are to do a permanent concrete rumble strip.
Mm-hmm. Versus so you can scrape it.
Right. I mean, the ones I have available as far as vendors like to use speed bumps or a rumble strip won't work for our snow removal operation because we'll probably end up tearing it up first time we plow snow. So they suggest we use concrete in.
I agree.
And put
dig,
that type
dig down
there,
and actually
dig
do
down
it.
And do a surface in concrete.
Yeah. Thank you.
If that's what we want to try and that's what we all agree on, that's fine.
What do you think?
But I think that the people know that the stop sign's there. I know they know. They're intentionally violating that.
Mm-hmm.
They know they're driving too fast, and this is not going to change them. I slow them down a couple times, and then they're right back to doing exactly what they were doing before. It's just that they get before they do it.
What are the other options?
Vacate the strip of land that run or the road that runs straight across there, and just utilize the old county road.
Well, I know
that's controversial. The here's a schoolhouse.
Yeah,
here's the road that goes across that property. Both are right off T Highway.
Yeah, I see them.
We've maintained this road forever. We still maintain it. Put this one in, and this is, I mean,
that's
just
schoolhouse
through there.
Yeah. Enclosed schoolhouse, you're basically saying.
It's an old, community center now. And here's the house, one of the houses that's complaining sits right here because they've got kids.
All the kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it would cause the people to make, I guess, the traffic then on this would be this flow here.
Right. The traffic would have to stop and make this 90-degree turn and come down here. This road was put in several years ago by a developer and then given
is
to the county.
Is there any safety concerns with this intersection, line of sight or anything?
There is a little bit of a line of sight, but I still think it meets the requirement for the speed limit of the road.
Okay.
I think that was checked there once, but this tree here, I think there's a curve beyond this point.
Can we do something temporarily then, Ron? Can we temporarily close this road?
We've had a deputy sit down there and issued a couple of some tickets and then banged right back to it.
Why don't we temporarily close this road?
Well, in fairness, you're going to have people from a subdivision down on T that are going to come up and go, we love that quick shot. I'm talking it takes them an extra 4 seconds to go down and turn. I mean, it's nothing.
I understand, but if we have a safety concern and people aren't following the law, we have to do our part.
I'd love to temporarily close that, let people come in and let us chat
What's your thoughts on that, Randy? What are we opening? What kind of can of worms are we opening? I mean, the safety concern. I mean, we're a violation of the law here.
Right. I mean, there would be some concerns with people down here, but we could temporarily close it and see how that affects, see what their concerns. Maybe they'll bring other concerns to the forefront, and I want to look at this to make sure this is as safe as this entrance here.
Intersection, all that, but
the property owner that has that property, I'm not going to call the name.
I know, on both sides.
Has had to fence the road on each side.
Right.
I mean, it's a nice fence in there, but...
Well, I guess my question is, if you want to investigate this, but I'm open to temporary closing this road, and let's hear from the citizens to see what other concerns we've got. I mean, maybe there's something we're missing, but our safety, I mean, road emergency safety's got to be number one. I mean, it's the whole reason.
What about any kind of notification as far as the residents here?
Sure.
Do we want to put a programmable sign, say we're temporary, close this section?
Uh-huh.
I'll put one of them up and for about a week and then go ahead and close
that'd
it rather
fine.
Than just
that'll
do
bring
it
the calls.
Group.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I think that
and
sounds great. Randy, let's
maybe
do
we'll
that.
See. Maybe we'll hear these concerns before we actually
be
close
fine.
It. And then
yes.
we can address, okay.
Right.
We'll
proceed. Prepare your office for phone calls to let them know and give them a little what they should say. And because the question is going to be, why are we closing the road and all that? And what I would like to do is, I think the programmable sign would actually help lessen the pain, but I think we need to get somebody's attention.
We've had an offer okay. that if, in fact, we vacate that, the property owner that owns that will give us easement to widen the other road.
Widen it.
This, absolutely. That was, that's the only difference is this section is narrower than this, but... Right.
They have agreed to give us the property and let us...
They have mentioned that before.
Yeah. I think we need to look about temporary closing that. I think what we're talking about, Randy, is good.
Okay. Proceed that way. Another item I have is we talked about this in the past in Ozark Beach area, the manholes. We had several down there. We're back getting close to winter again, and none of these have been addressed. And also we have, I think, two in the Bee Creek area and one just off of Hummingbird Road.
So are these...
These are manhole lids that need to be readjusted so it doesn't affect...
Okay, it's not work that's already been done, or it's proposed work that we could do.
It's work that we brought to you before that we're trying to get the contractor to address these.
How much would it cost us per...
It's been costing us average about $1,000 per manhole.
And we've got a total of how many?
I didn't count these up, but it's... Now, we've also done these ourselves on the Iowa Colony project, so it's something that we can also
do ourselves. Jim, why don't we go ahead and do these?
Or we can
This is what we're doing, concrete around it.
Concrete around, readjusting it so everything's flush and we're not hitting them. And we damaged a plow last winter.
Yeah, it was dangerous.
I've got one that's sticking up in my road, but I'm not going to ask to have it repaired because I don't ever have it plowed.
Right.
So I got no problem.
No, but I think we need to go ahead and get it done.
Them are the ones that that affect our plows and graders. So I'd like to get these done. I didn't know if you would.
Is our concrete crew can do this?
Yeah, we can put a crew. They've done a great job on the ones on Iowa Colony. And we work, the ones on Bee Creek and Hummingbird or off of Hummingbird, we'll have to work with the city of Branson as far as making sure they're fine with what we adjust it to. And then these down here, we can work with our sewer department to make sure and the engineer to make sure.
Now, are we paying for these or are they paying for these?
Actually, if we do them, we're paying for these. Now, they do have, now, sewer department, these down here, they said they would help and.
Don't even talk with them about it.
Okay, just do them.
Okay.
Just do them.
I got off without my.
Okay. I was going to give you an update where we're at with Mount Branson. I think we just lacked two loads of being fully stocked with salt. We do have the calcium there. The shop is ready to go. We're finishing up the electrical. We're going to get the new underground probably in a half week to a week's time. We should have power rehooked up.
And these are all expenses that will be expended in 2011, right? I mean, the salt, electrical, because we didn't budget for the barn next year.
Right. We've already, the main incoming electrical, we've already paid for the part through MPAR. That's, now the other, I don't know if them bills have come in yet. So some of this smaller stuff may come in 2012. We do have crews lined up as far as, and I think I've given you gentlemen a list. There is one change to that list. It was going to cause a longer drive for one, so I made one change there. But we do have right now for snow removal out of that, we're going to have about 14 people work there. Leave 14 people at Buchanan and then 25 at Hilda. We're going to see how that works right now.
We never gave you a name for manager yet.
No, and the other question I have as far as this is, when do you want to put a crew there full-time, occupy it?
We're not expecting to sell this next week, are we?
No, and right now we've got several people taking vacation, trying to use it up. I'm going to take next week. David Stottle won't be back till first of the year, so... I was thinking right after the first of the year, we
agree. I think next
at that point because we're still in the process of moving the sign man and trying to empty this FI.
I guess what I would say is that next week we can focus more on getting the name established of who's going to run the thing.
Okay.
And I would say, I mean, sooner versus later, but yeah, no later than the first week of January, I think. That's
okay.
3 weeks from now, but I think next week we can spend a little time. You're not going to be here. It's all gone too. So really, we're not
going to be off next week also. So
let's not meet, but we'll have a meeting to tell you the name.
Okay.
Are you saying that next week
we're on secondary crews or backups?
Well, everywhere.
Uh huh.
Okay.
I wonder if there's a way we could avoid that in the future, to where we have part of our
extend our comp time. And that. Oh, I was calling you that.
That's the best thing I've been called all week. So.
I mean, if we get, by chance, some inclement weather, I mean, these guys will all be back. I mean, there's nobody going to be leaving town or anything like
okay.
that, so they know that. I do have one other item. And this was a subdivision of about three, four roads that we talked about back earlier in 2011. And you gentlemen approve contingent on a hold harmless, and that's in Savannah Place. There were three, four streets. Charles Crane's been working on trying to obtain those, and he's run into a problem with the bank owning part of the lots at the end of these streets, and their lawyers are not willing to sign the whole harmless, so you don't know what direction to go now. So
it's a dead end. I mean, the ones at the bottom of the street, the ones that are most, that's the ones that are most exposed.
Right. He's got, I think there was four of them to obtain, and I think there's two of them that he's having problems with, so I told him I would.
Ron, if you want me to give you an update on that area real fast? I mean, we have privately put in streets that when we reviewed them, they petitioned for the county to take ownership of the roads and maintain them over in Savannah Place, which is off the Sycamore Church Road. No, Savannah Place is the other place.
Savannah Place is a subdivision. These are
off of Bee Creek.
Yeah.
Not off the Sycamore Church, but off of Bee Creek, it's Savannah Place.
Yeah, it's off Bee Creek area.
Yeah, and so basically, we had hold harmless agreements basically saying if we assume the roads, the water runoff, the existing conditions, we will not be responsible for any water damage. The waters on the roads are going into people's houses. We're just trying to protect ourselves because we're liable for the water runoff of the roads, and if they become county roads, all of a sudden there's a bigger person to blame. So we have hold harmless agreements that they have to sign for everyone who would be affected before we'll...
And are those valid? In other words, go to court, will they hold up?
They've not been challenged yet.
I'm just asking.
They're written by an attorney. I would say we have to... there's nothing more we can do.
Okay.
We can't expose the county if they won't sign them.
Okay. All right, that answers that. The last item I want to bring to you, and I think Danny asked for this, I contacted MoDOT, and this is how MoDOT snow removal is going to affect Taney County. The bold highlighted highways here is roads that, in talking with Mr. Middleton up there in Springfield, that was the name I was given to go to, and I talked with him about 15, 20 minutes. He said he would send this information. He sent me an email with this map on it. And all the roads highlighted in the bold lettering is going to be continuous operation as far as snow removal. That's treating and continual plowing till they get the roads cleared. All the other roads aren't going to be continuous. They will be treated, they will be plowed, but on a less basis than these. So
okay.
So what we're planning to do is basically just on the lettered roads right now is as we're going to our roads is to drop our plows and assist in that. It's going to help us and also help the public
right
as we're going down them. couple areas that's going to be concerns is that they're not going to do continuous treatment, or they're going to be end up piling up if we're getting deep snows, is this main road here, US 160, is going to be a concern from
they're
our
not
shop location. They're not
that's
touching
part
it.
Of their that's part of their change.
Right, that's part of their change. So, but it's going to affect us with one of our main shop locations here and sending trucks, which this will, I mean, we're assisting here, but not the, we don't do the numbered roads.
So their answer is they're not covering it. Our thing is we have to, because that's just basic access.
So that's the reason I was going to give you an update. And then do you want us to change what we're doing, or how do you want us to react to this?
Let me ask you this. We don't touch that road, because last year we didn't touch the road.
Right.
So right now that road is uncovered, basically. We won't. No one will touch
right.
the road.
What they say is there, and I can find out a little more as to exactly what they're going to do as far as the crews themselves. But right now they're going to pre-treat, then until these here are cleared, then they're going to move on to these, which that may be some time, which is going to affect the public and us. And,
oh, that's a traveled road.
And that, yeah, everybody coming from east trying to get to work, schools. You got a school down here.
Other than money, what's their reasoning? Is that it?
Money.
Yeah. It's money, cutbacks.
What's the length of time it takes to take care of that road?
If our trucks leave here to get to this area, you're looking at a good 30, 40-minute drive.
Right.
Now, plowing snow, double that, you know, so.
And half.
Hour and a half on the south side, and then the north side another 30 minutes.
Yeah,
or so.
You got, which we don't have very many roads off of this, but mainly this main road here is one which continues on into Ozark County, but U.S. Highway. Now they are over in this area. I mean, they're covering that, but they're using the populated areas traffic counts, I guess, to determine
if we get if we want to do our roads that are off of that road. It's going to take us twice as long to get to them.
It's going to hinder us. And then the other thing that hinders us, similar to some areas that's notoriously for cars getting hung up on, if highway becomes shut down, everything's shut down. We can't get through. There's no alternative route to get to these areas.
I think we just have to take care of them.
It's like the road just across the bridge here. You know, if people get hung up on 76 here on like Manly Hill, that just pretty well shuts things down. I mean, nobody's going anywhere.
What's the latest? And I'm sorry to jerk you from this to that, and we'll come back on
okay.
closing of the bridge down here.
Right now, they're just discussing it, and it's moved out to past 2014 now. And they're still trying to look for ways maybe to fix it without closing it, because that was the last information at the
is there anything
transportation
that
board.
We need formally to add to the chaos that will cause if they close that bridge for you.
You know, have we said we've never sent an official letter or anything though.
I really
no.
think we need to.
I think we need to talk about life safety. I mean, from a sheriff, there's a lot of things that are affected.
But safety, and then just day to day
access, schools. Safety, 911. I mean, there's.
I mean, the time involved in just getting back to that point.
Oh, just
making
it's not
circle,
like the
Tanning
Humble
so.
Bridge where you could have gotten to Hollister and cut across.
Right.
We're going to have to go from here to Hollister to cut across to come back.
Oh, it's huge.
There's just no other access.
Right.
I mean, this is simple, but for me to go to church, I got to go to Branson to Hollister and come back. Go to church right
that's
here,
true.
Go back the river.
My opinion would be construct a new bridge, eliminate the old bridge. That's how they would normally do it and not affect traffic.
I got a question for you.
So
when they put in the gates on top of the dam down here,
mm-hmm.
they shipped in from other states these huge
floating
pontoons, like close to resembling what the military uses
mm-hmm.
when they put big trucks and tanks across rivers in wartime. I wonder why they can't consider doing that.
They could.
And obviously, boats wouldn't be able to get up and down. But
that would affect that. The other thing would be Bull Shoals Lake. Look how much it fluctuates. If it happened to get a flood time, the creeks get up. I mean, it's, I don't know. That's going to be a...
We could pick a narrow part of the...
Maintain the elevation for, I don't know what the construction time would be, but it would be lengthy. I mean, that's, look how long it took to rehab the old bridge at Taney Coma.
What are we going to do here?
We have to keep it. We have to maintain it. Because guess who gets blamed in the heat of the winter? It's Taney County. When MoDOT wasn't doing their roads, it was us.
Right.
We don't have any liability working on their roads, do we?
That's going to be a concern. I mean, if something happens and somebody has an accident or something,
on the Branson side that makes sense for them to cover that we could say, okay, we'll take that, but you take these and do a little trade? Is there anything on the other side that we could say, you guys raise your plow, drop your plow, just make this more continuous? Is there anything over there?
What about the old roads that we took over off of, was it 165?
165.
We do those, right?
Yeah, we do a section of 165.
How long is that section?
About a mile and a half, I believe.
But it's something that they did for decades.
Right.
Does it make sense for them to take that section over?
Well, compared to the miles here.
Well, see, they're continual... It wouldn't hurt if they took that over. Of course, we got roads off of that. I mean, but compared to mile-wise, I mean...
Not mile-wise, it's just a trade. Because we're affecting lots of households on that road.
Right.
I mean, we are here too, but I think we're going to affect a whole lot more households over here.
That would be the only one that would come up right now would be 165.
Would it be a tough for Randy to go talk to MoDOT and say, okay, we'll take this, but you got to take this?
Okay.
Well, there might be something else there too. If you would look and see if there's another area like that,
just open the conversation, have the dialogue, and see if there's anything that they would be willing to, if they're willing to even negotiate with that.
When are you taking off, Randy?
Next week.
You got a day and a half to do this.
Well, you got the core. It's got a lot to work in here. I got a feeling we're not doing that till you get back. Although this is important to do.
This I can talk to him tomorrow and get a hold of him and see if there's something.
Yeah, but if the press knew that 160 is not going to be covered, and it's going to be no MoDOT's reason, not the county.
Okay,
that would help us a little bit.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
That's all I have. I'm going to leave that cost estimate with
things
you,
that
gentlemen.
Were cut out of the budget from Green Tech.
So they're going to expect only 15 total out of county.
All counties.
All counties, not just ours, total.
That was what was proposed. I haven't seen the final because I don't think they've had their vote. But
I thought they did last week.
Maybe they did. I know that they're not going to approve it until January 10th.
Okay.
Final approval. We've already set that in stone. Or said that's what they're going to do. Nikki, good morning. Is this mine, or are you wanting to keep this?
Randy.
Randy. Is this for us?
Yes, that's for you guys to review. That kind of gives you a number as far as that road in particular.
Nikki, would you file this under Devil's Tea Table Road?
So I have a copy.
When Dan gets back, he can...
Back? You want it?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, young lady.
I have three items on penalties and interest that need to be addressed.
Hold on a minute. Do we have?
I'm under 9 o'clock too.
We do have a bill. Okay, so you're saying, can we take you first?
Yes, of course. Go ahead.
I have no other way.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Me neither.
I'm listed.
Okay, we have three items under waiving penalties and interest that need to be brought before you.
And that's before the commission, or
yes,
before BOE?
Before
the commission. Aren't we doing that on a weekly basis? Did we agree to set that up for?
Add-ons and court orders.
Set this right up with them, whatever.
Are we meeting Monday with them?
Can I put it on Monday?
Okay. I don't know, why not?
Great, thank you so much.
I think we have adequate time.
I have our annual direct deposit and ASI order that needs to be signed and approved.
We just have to, it's an annual contract for the direct deposit. Monday?
Yes.
Monday's fine. Ron?
Absolutely.
Can we make sure legal, is it a contract? Can we make sure legal's seen it at least? I mean, I don't know if it's ever been reviewed.
It's an order.
It's our order.
Yeah, I mean, it's
yeah.
From Helen.
For Monday. Yeah, Monday's good.
I have the assessment maintenance plan for next year that needs to have a work session. He is requesting an hour to an hour and a half.
Before the end of the year?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. What about next Thursday? It'll be the 22nd.
It's okay with me.
Thursday morning. Yep.
That is all I have a question about one of them. Board appointments. There are several boards that need to be appointed before the end of the year.
Well,
when are we going to bring that back up?
The challenge is we've got a few vacancies because we just don't have people that we can.
We haven't found.
We haven't found in some like the P&Z we can't because it's specific to a township.
I still think that your point is well taken. We should put it on the agenda. And if we have an opportunity,
you can put it on.
I do have a sewer request.
Yes, you do. But we can bring it up, and like we do everything, is and
either
seek
forward
and,
or
seek input. You want to put it on Monday? We can have a brief discussion.
You want to set it for the 27th?
That's fine too.
We can do it on Monday, but I don't have any.
Well, I'm just trying to get, what I'm trying to do is what we normally do is we ask the press to print openings.
And they've been real good to do that. It's just that we're not getting anybody to respond to it.
Well, this newest one is the sewer, because that's the newest one that's been open in the park board. That's fine. 27.
We can have that discussion on Monday, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah. And then have the press. Okay.
Yeah, this is put up on Monday. It won't take but 5 minutes.
Okay, I'm with you.
I don't have anybody's name.
Let me hear your request, sir.
I'd like to have a work session with the library board to talk about, just to give them some direction or to just have some conversation with the library board.
27th. Is that okay?
That'd be fine.
Given the fact that we're going to extend the budget time. if in fact we rely upon the statute, then we have an extra 10 days or something.
Otherwise, we can do it Thursday the 22nd.
Either way.
Push for Thursday the 22nd and see if they...
How much time?
45 minutes. Maybe 30 minutes.
Okay.
30 minutes?
That should be plenty.
Thank you.
The transfer station. Do you have your information to come back?
Yes, I'm still working it. Don't schedule it yet. I'm meeting with Aegis Engineering supposedly next week. I told them they couldn't meet this week because of budget. My job was to meet with Aegis and then come back with you guys.
But we haven't moved forward with the bunker.
Bunker's being moved forward. We have to rewrite a manual, operation manual, and in our conversation, Aegis, because they had familiar with the manual, I just haven't met with them yet. This week was out of the question. So we have moved forward, and it's almost complete, if not complete.
If, in fact, it's not Aegis and it's not an extension of what we'd already done, then we have to go through the process?
We can write
an RFQ?
No, actually what we have to do is write a letter of intent to DNR explaining our interest of how we want to operate the transfer station. The bottleneck is our operation manual is multiple years outdated, and we have to update the manual. So that's the way we get to see how fast Aegis can help us and what the cost would be if we did we prepay, did they fixed bid this thing? I don't remember any of those details. So.
Okay.
But I'm planning to meet with them hopefully Monday at lunchtime.
Okay. Do you have any other requests to go on the agenda?
I don't
either.
I will let you know there's probably going to be a large chunk of time Monday morning.
Available?
Available.
Can we move legal forward? Oh, budget? I mean, I'm hoping budget will be...
I know, but we can sit and we can line it. I mean, we're going to have to...
We'll see if we can move legal forward and then do the rest. We do have budget cleanup. I mean, if we get through all the numbers this week. But yeah, move legal forward and then move the rest of the budget.
Okay.
Thanks.
Are they showing up here because of the bids that are coming up?
Prosecuting attorneys at 9:15.
Yes.
Oh, we got him at 9:15.
Yeah, so we got 1 minute for Mr. Erickson.
Ron, can we get you?
Thank you.
You want to put him over there? Before? Yep. No, that's fine. You're good. You get the microphone seats.
You got 30.
Evan, stop. 37 seconds. 67 seconds. Code reader, crime access software.
Yes, good morning. Are we ready?
Yes.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm here this morning with two requests for bids, and I've asked Sergeant Barnwell to assist in this endeavor because he is the originating officer of it. On the first one, which is 20111-157 barcode readers, I have received four responses, and I'll ask you to kind of assist filling the blanks for me as I open these. The first one is from Component Sourcing Group in Laguna Hills, California.
Sean, while he's opening this, will you remind me what this is for?
This is a piece of hardware that assists the law enforcement officers within the county in taking data off of driver's licenses and then putting it into the records management program without having to do data entry.
Was this part of the overall COPS grant?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm back in.
Yep, this will be reimbursed.
Okay.
When you say reimbursed, how is it reimbursed?
We put that into the budget and line item, and I got that information from
Sean. Okay, that's the number you got. Okay.
Careful not to point that, Mr. Harris.
That's right. It's dangerous. Deadly weapon. Jimmy wasn't looking over there with it, I'll tell you.
I Right, because we're crimped for time. Can we get you to read the whoever the four bidders are to us and then work with Sean and come back to us with your recommendation?
Do you have the first one?
Yes.
Okay, bid number two received from Elliott, E-L-L-I-O-T-T, Data Systems, Chesterfield, Missouri. The third response was from Scan Technologies in Manchester, Tennessee. And the last one that I received was from Barcodes, Inc., all one word, B-A-R-C-O-D-E-S-I-N-C, Chicago, Illinois.
Tell me what the first one was.
The first one was Component Sourcing Group in Laguna. And the price that they are bidding is $14,817.00, 14817.00. And that is for 33 barcode readers. The second one from Elliott Systems. And they are bidding a total cost to the county of $17,325 or $525 each. 17325.00 or $525 each for the 33 units. The third bid received was from Scan Technologies. So far filled out the correct paperwork, and their bid is $13,167.00 for the 33 scanners. And then the last one from Barcodes Inc., Chicago, Illinois. And they are bidding a total cost to the county of $15,229.17. 15229.17. I think we can make a recommendation on this fairly quickly. Are you familiar with these companies?
I'm familiar with one, Scan Technology, which is the low bidder here, and we already get a piece of software from them that they're the sole source on. So it makes sense to also get the hardware technology that that software communicates with.
And they have submitted the paperwork correctly, as I reviewed it already.
So is that your recommendation then?
Yes.
I'll move that we award Scan Tech Technology, is that correct, the wording?
Yes, sir.
The barcode, I'm trying to think what the official word is. What is it? The
barcode readers.
The barcode readers bid at the low price of $13,167.
Second, the motion has been made and seconded to award the bid to Scan Technology for the barcode readers at the price of $13,167. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. The next item I have on the agenda for this morning is a similar bid. This one is 20111-158 for crime and accident reconstruction software. As a former federally certified accident reconstructionist, that comes close to my heart. In this instance, we only received one response, and that was from AT Solutions in Boise, Idaho. Does the commission wish for me to proceed with opening this one response, or would you?
I do.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
familiar with this company?
This company is the provider of this same solution for the Branson Police Department. They're the only agency in the county that I'm aware of that has this software.
In the county, in the country?
In the county, okay.
They were borderline sole source designate, I think, and decided to let it out for bid to be safe. They're bidding a total cost of $15,886.
Say it again, 15,000?
15886.0.
Is that the one response was expected then, basically, because it's near sole source?
Right.
There are other companies that do close to the same thing.
Okay.
This is already utilized by the Branson Police Department, so it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense if they're the only ones bidding to go out for bids again, being that it does satisfy the requirements of what's
needed. Can I see that real fast?
Seeing PD, it's being a former accident reconstructionist, I can tell you it is a very unique field, and it has some uniqueness to it.
Is this your recommendation?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Motion to award AT Solutions the bid response for accident, what do you call it? Crime and accident.
Reconstruction
bid at the low bid price of $15,886 as a low bidder, not low price, but low bidder.
Second, motion has been made and seconded to award the bid to AC Solutions for crime and accident reconstruction at a price of $15,886. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. Do you need me
guys,
for anything else?
We're sorry to rush you, but thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
See you.
Thank you.
Mr. Merrill? We're close, but no cigar, right?
Hey, Jeff. Good to see you, sir.
How are you, sir?
Can we jump right in, and since I don't want to rush you at all, from the presentation, you are one of those accounts that doesn't quite apply because we authorized an employee mid-year for you, and it's not, I don't believe, I'll speak for me because I know we've discussed it, but I want to speak to Ron, but we don't intend for you to not continue with him. If that makes sense from the aspect of 2011 approved, because we changed your budget. Do you have it, Ron, Department 119?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions just to start.
Sure.
If I could, and thoughts, and work our way back to personnel. First, I agree with Jim. I think we need to start at the point of where you were when the commission agreed to add the personnel back. Number two, in the second part of your budget, where you have, it's not a lot of money, but training. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if, at least for this budgetary term, and we're talking to different officers about this, we might have you pull that from a different source, primarily being prosecuting attorney's training fund.
I thought we were already doing that.
You know what? All I can look at, because it's the only figure I have in front of me, is 2010 expenses, but in 2010, we had 42,68,90.
That's right, but those line items were zeroed out in 2011 for all six of those line items under training and mileage expense.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
From what I understand, we did have some actuals that showed up in 2011, but I think that what had happened is, because in the past, and not, hasn't, I don't think it's been this
particular commission's desire that we do this, but in the past what had happened is if we had an expense, we might go ahead and put it into the general revenue, and it would go from one line item to another. And so we do have about $604 and change in 2011 that's been spent out of general revenue for training and expenses, but everything else has been covered out of our discretionary funds.
To make sure that the figures you have in front of you and we have in front of us are the same, we probably need to take a look at it, because that's not always been the case when we're receiving requests here. I have a line item request for those budgeted items in my 2012 budget request.
I had them, and I put them over in, I guess, 570, which is your training fund, is where. But I had monies in those. If you're talking about training and mileage,
yes,
I had money in those also in my original budget.
That we wrote in for 2012.
Let me put it this way, and Jeff, you may not have written them in there. We've had some challenges getting numbers.
We might have written them in there. I don't know, but
I'm not saying you did.
And you might not.
And you might not.
I'll tell you that this year, what we've done is we've been covering that out of our discretionary funds, because all six of those line items in that category, training and mileage expense, were zeroed out in 2011 approved.
I would like to, and I had a brief discussion with Jeff when he was with the commission here within a week, 10 days ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a point where we have the budget officer who's requesting, I want repayment for this, and I want repayment for this for GCR.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get us to a place where we know in advance what that's going to be.
Right.
Where Jeff is not challenged on a monthly basis by, hey, you're running short on your budget because we didn't transfer this or we didn't make this addition or subtraction within the budget, so that we have a better understanding. He's not bothered by that. We're not bothered by that. And I think if we come to an amount from whichever fund it is that Jeff has a preference, at least for this time, on that issue of the past of where increases were given, and or this additional half an FTE,
mm-hmm.
We can set that up, or at least it was my suggestion to Jeff, by an interoffice agreement between his office and our office. We'll have an agreement of what that is. It's not going to change during the year unless there's other needs that Jeff comes to us and we're able to take care of those. But we know out front.
Right, right.
Yeah, because we pay some of our personnel budget out of discretionary funds as well, just so that we've got enough coverage on everything. So it does make sense that and I don't disagree that I would like to get that set up in advance. So it's almost like, you know, this is kind of oversimplifying it, I guess, but how you might have an automatic withdrawal every month out of your checking account personally that goes to cover an expense, almost do an agreement where we know periodically that X amount is going to be transferred to cover that amount we pay out of discretionary funds.
We have requested, but as yet have not received, what a set amount is so that we can do that with you. I don't know how to better say that. I'm hopeful that you can give us an idea. We'll agree with you. We'll move forward with that, and mm-hmm. that's what it'll be.
Right.
And we're just having some issues.
And I think that we talked about that in our last meeting, Ron. I apologize. I've been busy with other stuff since then. But I'll work on figuring out what that is.
Well, I actually didn't ask you for that. I thought that I could get those figures, but I've been unable to come to solid figures. I also, with Jeff, apologized to him for our lack of communication between his office and our office directly. And we are intending to correct that.
Well, I think that's probably a two-way street. Is there any other question as far as the proposed or?
Well, can you do this for me? Yeah. Just because, and for some reason,
Ron and Danny have printed books. I have an email version, same copy, and we have three different numbers at times. So could you give me just subtotals of, like, what we've asked is that, for now, let's not figure any increases into anybody's salary, but what is your total of your salary expense that you're requesting? Because I don't even know if we're starting the same spot.
Well, and then what was also that was approved.
You see, I have the...
With the addition.
I believe I've got that number, okay. But I don't know if that's right.
Well, you guys may be ahead of me. I don't know that I've got that number.
I mean, I can tell you that it was $401,699 was the approved. We added that full-time, which brought it to $441, and then I think there's a half-time of that one part-time that went full-time.
But he's been paying that out of
right, but we'll still budget that. We're paying that person's salary out of that line, so it won't appear anyway.
Correct.
So
well, that's what we think.
So I believe it's around $441, but I don't know, Jeff.
I want to show Jeff what we have. Because it says here that the figures...
Yeah. Now, would it be better? I could go get a report of year-to-date spending out of this.
I'll show you what we were given, Jeff.
Okay.
We were given this budget that had nothing in it. Mm-hmm. So right. There wasn't a request made. He informed us he put that figure in after asking. So we said, okay. Obviously, this is where he pulled it from. Mm-hmm. When we added the new employee full-time, that's where Jim came up with this figure.
Right.
What I need to know now is, do the rest of the budget match with what
you have in front of you?
Okay.
And I think that this was my misunderstanding. And like I said, this whole misunderstanding, miscommunication thing is a two-way street. But in the past, my meetings with the commission... basically was I would come in with all these different figures for different employees and a bottom number, and it seemed like everybody was like telling me, hey, all we care about is the bottom number. We don't care who's getting what. And so as a result, that's why you just got one flat number added in at the bottom here.
Actually, there wasn't one there.
There wasn't?
No.
No, it was zero.
It was zero.
It was zero, and he...
Well, I don't. That doesn't make any sense because
we had him even bring us the.
Made sense to me that we would submit this one bottom number without all the details about who's getting what because in the past we've been told that. Okay. Anyway, well, that was an error then.
But that's not a problem for us.
Because we do want our personnel to be budgeted.
Yeah, no, we have that.
We want that.
We unanimously agreed.
We said you're right. Your guys need to be right.
Yeah.
What's your bottom line number, Jeff? Just what's your your bottom line number you've requested overall total? Just see where we're.
You know, and I'm looking here because I don't know that I've brought the paper that has the overall request on it. You see what I mean? I had it, and now I'm not putting my finger on it. Unfortunately.
I still didn't hear
that. That's not that easy.
I didn't know that, didn't you?
You can tell.
What's that?
No, but you.
We don't want you to make one question. So I don't have that.
I'm not sure if I brought it with me. Unfortunately, I could have had something that we had drawn up.
I requested this year, this budget. Because we didn't have it last January, did we receive
what you got?
Paper copies of what was requested?
Yeah, what you sent in, we wanted a copy of.
Can I make a call real quick?
Sure.
To my office. Sorry.
That's fine. We don't have that.
You know, it would be... I
too many cords restricted.
Here's what Rick submitted. You need to know what the bottom line was. $444,099.88 for the entire year.
For everything?
For everything, including. We added to that ourselves before it even comes to you.
I don't think that even includes the position of that was
added
in summer.
Well, confident it doesn't. We punched it up by adding 40,
mm-hmm.
and these were just suggested to this open training, which is why I brought that up,
mm-hmm.
which brought it to this. But we don't know what you are actually requesting.
I mean, I can.
We know what your actuals are. We have an idea what your actuals were approved, obviously, for 2011, and we can look at that with some adjustments, and we can work from there. But
I mean, if I was coming up to a number, last year, I show you we approved you $437,749 is what I show we approved you last year.
Yes.
Okay. If I'm doing the simple math and adding 40,000 to that, mm-hmm. then we're at, you know, $477,749. I showed that, like in the other expenses, that your office reduced your request by $900 in those. That subsection of other expenses, with training and all that being shifted to Department 570, you left your equipment expenses. You reduced that by $250. I show a request of $476,799. I don't know if that's right. That would be in line with us adding the full time person, the part time person being paid out of a different line item, a different department.
And what was the number you showed requested?
That's what I don't know.
You said 476.
Well, that's what I'm coming up with.
Right. I came up with 480.
476,799. And you came up with?
480,099.
But I don't know what your original was. And, well, maybe I could find that with us.
Did you submit it electronically?
Probably. You guys are pretty techy over there.
That was not a hands-on thing.
I can show you. This is what Rick sent me originally, which was he plugged in. Okay, this is the original that I show from Rick.
Okay.
Which was the total request was $444,099. That's with him plugging in that salary number of $401,699. So if I add $40,000 to that, the request should be around $484,099. Mm-hmm. But in that, you had $5,000 of training and mileage requested in this budget. And so I think we shifted the $5,000 over to the other budget, and I think that's where we got close to.
For some reason, we shifted $4,000 of it over, and we left
$200,000. I should have left $200,000. Well, that's different than I got.
But it doesn't make any difference. We're going to cover.
Anyway, that's what we show. This is what you're here, Jeff. I can just show you what I can. Here's the original bond here. This is what. Here it is. You start at the top here. Mm-hmm. This is what made by the prosecutor. This number was added by the auditor. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then every other number has been what was submitted.
Mm-hmm.
I have a different file. When I make an adjustment, I highlight it yellow so I know what I've changed. So that's what I showed. The original request is $444,099. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case,
and clearly that 401 number does not include that
part time
midsummer.
Correct.
Right. Or
the other person.
Or the midsummer. Right. Or the other person is not full time.
Right. Exactly. So I can tell you this.
Even before that, we were still paying for part of an assistant prosecutor out of discretionary funds. Even before all those moves. Right. Now we're probably paying less out of discretionary funds now because we have some people that aren't paid as much because they are less experienced assistant prosecutors in our office.
Right.
But
well, I can tell you, if that number's right, if we move training over, we'll be fine. Your budget won't be touched because there's nowhere to cut any other than that. I mean, is that wrong to say?
well, it's different than what we're saying. We're asking for 5% to 10% from everyone. And then our intention is to, if the monies are there, to make the grant increases to the employees. Some have been over 3 years without an increase, is my understanding. I know there was no increases, to the best of my knowledge, that were given in January when I was here, and was told it had been a couple of years.
Well, I guess, Jeff, is there anywhere else other than salaries that you can help supplement through your special funds? Is there any other money that...
Well, what is the amount that we would need to hit? Because all the officers thus far have done that. For this year.
Okay, do we include or don't include that full-time person we have?
No, we have to include it.
So the new number is 441 then?
What I mean is we're going to pay for the new employee. That's already been booked into the system. Oh, you mean when we're subtracting out?
Yeah, we're saying 5% cut.
Don't include it because it was of the budgeted.
By adding that one person, he's 8% more than 2011. By just adding that one person.
Leave the one person out.
So start with the original number.
Which one's better for Jeff? Help me out there. I'm not sure where you're headed, and I'm not
437, 749 was what we approved in January of 2011.
Okay.
437.
I got that right.
749.
Yep.
Then we added a full-time employee that we know what the salary was. I showed it got to 477, 749. Do I then take 5% or 10% off of that number? Where am I taking the 5% off?
That lowers us, if you use the 477, 749, down to 453,
862. So, and that's how much off then? Would you ask 10% or 5%?
That's 5.
Okay, now let me just do 5 here.
I do that right? I took the 477, 749. That was the figure you gave me.
Yes.
I took that times 95%.
And I have him at 476 right now, if we choose to use my numbers. With the added headcount.
Yes.
Taking the train, moving all the training over. All but I kept $200 in employee reimbursement mileage, so I left $200 in the training mileage expense subcategory.
So what's the total before 5%?
Right now, I show him at 476. 799 is where he's at right now.
Okay.
I know that his all of his office expenses and things are right on track with what he budgeted.
What we're talking about is $23,839.95 that he would need to take out of that fund. Or to pick up from somewhere else. But what we need to do is enter into, I really like to clean up that other. We could add this, if with his permission, add that into the same agreement and it's done. What we would do then is to put it all back into General County Revenue.
Right.
And then he would...
Right.
And we were chatting perhaps on a quarterly by quarterly basis, put that back in.
What do you show your original request then, Jeff? You just got your information.
It is. You know, I show it at. The problem is, this doesn't include that midsummer personnel person.
Mm-hmm.
But I show it at 445.099.68.
And I showed 444, so we're close.
Again,
that doesn't include that midsummer person.
That's a 40. That's a 40 add-in, right?
Right.
So 485.
Right. 099.68.
Yeah. Within $1,000, what I show.
And if we take,
can I see that real fast? I want to see where I'm.
I'm different from the original request because I'm trying to put the original stuff in.
We have a daunting task ahead of us of line by line following meetings with the elected officials and department heads, but constructing ourselves the budget. And Jen, for your edification, in a little bit we're going to talk about moving dates forward for approval.
There's the difference.
Final approval of budget. We are allowed to do it within, I believe, statutorily, within 10 days of the beginning of the year, following the beginning of the year, which is what Greene County is doing. But because we're going to have to put our boots on, our big question is, if we look at the figures that you just gave us, which are 485.099.68, and we look at 5% less, we're at 468.44.69. So for all practical intents and purposes, say 468.45. Do you have the funds? Well, of course, that may also include increases. I don't know. That may be your salaries.
Thank you.
No? It doesn't.
Okay, I've got his original. At least I can say we start at the same spot.
Okay, within the computer, you got it.
I'm square now.
Well, we're still going to come back to this figure. Right?
Yes, I just wanted to make sure my original was his original.
Okay.
Okay.
And that doesn't include what we pay out of discretionary funds for.
Well, because there was an increase. If there's another way we can work that out, we need to talk about that, too.
It's because, it's probably partially because of that. It's partially because of us covering some of our personnel budget out of our discretionary funds, regardless of anything else, because several years ago, we had been allotted money for another part-time prosecuting attorney. We made that a full-time position by supplementing that out of our bad check fund or our discretionary funds. And we've continued that on for the last several years. So we've already, regardless of the position that went from part-time to full-time in the late summer or whenever that was, mid-summer, we were already paying some of our personnel budget out of discretionary funds.
I didn't know that.
Well, and he said earlier that they were paying for half a person of an FTE. Is that who you're referring to, or is that in addition to that?
I don't think I understand your...
You said that half of an employee was being paid for out of...
An assistant prosecutor.
Half a prosecutor, the half person he's paying for is not a prosecutor.
Correct.
That's are they being paid position. For out of discretionary funds mm-hmm. also?
Correct.
Right.
So there's...
Basically equal to...
Two.
Right.
But see, those numbers have changed also over time because we have lost more experienced assistant prosecutors to other probably higher-paying jobs,
right.
and they've moved on. And then we've now got less experienced people who are paid not quite as much as those people.
Can you give me an idea how much you've been paying out of discretionary funds?
Maybe. The figure... if we're going to use the figure 441 mm-hmm. and change,
yeah.
let's say, I can tell you that we have been paying about 52,000
okay.
for personnel out of discretionary funds is my best estimate.
That includes, that also includes benefits.
But
Rick bills for benefits.
There will be benefits included on that, but I don't think that that number includes benefits.
Okay, let me make a comment.
Yeah.
I've been informed by the auditor's office that he's billing you for salary and benefits.
Sure, but the number I'm looking at is just
it's without
the
it.
Base
oh, okay.
salary is what I'm looking at.
Okay. All right, you know what, Jim? are we going to continue this? You did this. We did this. We argued here. But, I mean, this is pre-me. I'm not saying, suggesting it was you. I'm just stating it was. So I'm not, if I state it wrong, that's where I said it, then you correct me. It'd be nice to clean all that out.
Oh, my goodness,
say, we're
yes.
going to go forward with where X we're
amount
at,
of dollars.
Where we're at, and it's going to cover everything that's happened. The employees are going to be continued at the salaries that they were earning without saying, we're going to dun you for this, and you got to pay for this. Let's set an amount from his discretionary fund.
I know it.
Go forward and make everything sound in the budget. The budgeted figure that we came up to here total was what? $485,099.68 is what I had. That's the total he's given us right here.
His request. Right?
Say that again.
$485,099.68 was the official beginning request.
That includes the 40.
That includes the 40
was added.
It's last year's budget plus 40 is kind of roughly, right?
Roughly, yeah. There's some increases.
Who's left,
roughly.
Who's left out? Are there employees that currently are being paid directly out of another fund?
Oh, no. Let me explain something.
No.
His salary numbers, I do know this. We're paying the halftime person in his budget.
That's in these figures?
No. He is way over your salary number.
Correct.
Because we don't do half pay like we're talking with other employees. We pay them like they're full-time employees out of this budget. He just happens to go over every year in his salary line item. So if we're going to truly budget his salary, it's at least $50,000 higher than this. And that's what's actually being expenditure. If I go pull his actuals right now, you're over already from the 441. You're way over that.
With the employees and the expenses, let me restate this. With the employees and the expenses that we have then, can we come to an agreement from your discretionary funds? We're just going to set an amount today. We'll write up an agreement between you and us. You shoot that into the county each, but we put everything in GCR, so there aren't any questions. There's not any back and forth. There's no.
I mean, I don't like what you're having to go through because I'm having a hard time following it. And
what's a fair amount?
Well, that's the problem. We don't know.
Well, he's got an idea.
Well, but is he going to pay for benefits anymore?
Well, they have to be paid for.
Well, I understand.
Are we bringing on a half-time or a full-time person when we put it into the budget?
It was a full-time position at 40.
We brought it
full-time. We did that.
We're
doing that.
But his part-time went to full-time also.
Half-time to full.
Right. Part-time, half-time to full-time.
But my point is, part of it being paid out of GCR, part of it out?
No. It's all being pulled out of GCR. It just reflects he goes over his budget every year.
And so I supplement that with transferring, like we talked about, transferring the discretionary fund money to
the GCR.
But
my point is, from the discretionary fund, are we paying for 100% of that employee or 50%?
50.
Okay.
Of that one, 50 of another one, though. That's the special part here. Don't we still pay not quite 50, 40%?
I pay less than 50 of that now just because the numbers are different.
His special fund pays for two part-time people.
Actually, that may be wrong. It may be closer to 50 now. Yeah. It was maybe over 50 in the past.
This is what I like to do. I like to move everybody into general county revenue. Have your staff all in one.
Have your salaries reflect accurately.
And you help us by, let's come to an amount and you say, I'll give you this amount of money, $50,000, $100,000, $120,000, whatever it is.
Yeah, it'd probably
we'll just do that.
You throw benefits.
Put everybody in the budget. I'm ready to approve his budget and move forward.
Can you get a number back to us?
Let me ask, would it be acceptable to do it tomorrow? And the reason I say that is because we've got a circuit court law day that's probably going to go past 8 p.m. tonight.
Yeah.
And that I've got to get.
Absolutely,
to.
Tomorrow would be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think by tomorrow I can have you. Now I probably will have you the figures, but without the benefits amount because I'm not familiar with those.
We may just come up with a number and that we agree on.
You come up with an amount, and that's I'm pulling this out of the air. It's $100,000. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're going to transfer on a quarterly basis at the beginning of each quarter. And we say, okay,
and
we do that. We're putting all your people in GCR.
So your budget reflects accurate because you're going over your budget.
We're budgeting for them, and we're moving forward.
that's going to be way.
And the reason I could look at that without the 5% cut is because he's already paying for this out of his discretion.
Yeah, we're. I mean,
I was looking at last year's approves, and we had all six line items of the training and mileage expense were zeroed out. We had two more zeroed out of other expenses, which were dues and conferences and professional bar dues. We had the equipment purchase zeroed out. And all those, if we have any needs out of those, which we always do, all those line items, we pay those out of our discretionary funds. If it weren't for our discretionary funds, we would not, we wouldn't be able to keep our attorney's license. Because they wouldn't be able to, they can't afford, they don't make enough to afford to pay their own
retrain.
Continuing legal aid. They've got to get 15 hours every year.
Right.
I can see we're ripping at it into the P18s.
Yeah. I guess
there's 5, 6, 7, 8,000.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, what I'd like to see is this thing reflect accurately.
Sure.
And then we get away from UOS, and it just, it makes it much cleaner, and we can just go forward and manage it properly. Yeah. Because this is...
Let me come tomorrow, and I'll have a number that I think accurately reflects what
when you want to send us a number, let us look at it, and then we'll figure out what time tomorrow we can get together.
It's fine.
Because I want to be able to look at the benefits and say, okay, is this, I mean, if it's close, we're going to be good.
Okay.
So. And we're not scheduled to be here until...
No, we moved it to 8.
Oh, we did?
At least I got a notification to 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. We don't have tomorrow on there.
That works for me. I'll be here anyway. So we'll be here all day.
Okay. Have you got any questions for me about our office or anything?
I'd like for us to continue to work on communication so we can work. We need to communicate.
I would like that as well.
I'm hopeful that after the first of the year, on some type of regular basis, it doesn't have to be monthly, but that everyone can sit down and we can talk about like issues that we have in county government, challenges that we have, where we'd like to be. It just seems to me that once we understand that and how we need to cooperate together, it's going to make us much more effective within the system.
And I would like to invite the commissioners to come over,
either as a group or individually, I don't care how it works, but come over periodically to our office so we can get and show you around what's going on in our office and let you know what we're doing. I know we submit this annual report every year around December 1st, but you know, that's numbers on a page, and it doesn't always tell the true story about what we're doing. And I can tell you that without having had the additional assistant prosecutor position added this summer, you know, we were not going to be able to cover all the courts that we sometimes have to be at. And we, you know, judges aren't very appreciative when you tell them, well, we don't have anybody to cover that court. We'll see you later at a different time. So, you know, we're real appreciative that was done this summer.
Because they're always there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, we're there. We're just in other courts, you know, because other judges demand our appearances as well. And so, you know, I would think that might be helpful as well, because I think it would help our office feel like you all have some understanding about or gaining some understanding about what we're trying to accomplish. So I appreciate that. All right, I'll work on this, and we'll talk more about
that. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. We got
on our big sheet here.
Who?
Collector?
Yeah, okay. I just did all my teeth work yesterday.
I mean, theoretically, his budget's going to go up by about $75,000, but we'll have the offsetting revenues.
Yes.
And that will need to be explained in the budget summary. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a busy, and we got so many more traveling judges. They in the four active courtrooms, they've got, I mean, they're busy.
Look how simple these agendas are.
I also ran a huge portion of their budget, and they've left that upstairs. Yeah, no, I didn't.
No, we're ready. Come right in. I want you to look at this later as they go through, and it shows how they present their document after a description of who everybody is. Charts that let you know where they'll do things, and
that's pretty interesting.
There's the neat process, though, that
good morning.
Good morning. What a beautiful December 15th day.
Exactly. Is it December?
It is December. Trust me. Go to that office and you'll see.
Let me put this back here. What number was the prosecutor, Jim? Do you remember?
119.
Thank you.
And we're going to be going to 107.
Full amount that you requested in 2012.
This year.
Well, for next year, what did you actually request?
You know, I didn't bring my request sheet.
Surprisingly, we're finding that there are some differences.
Well, I didn't ask for any increases in anything.
What figure do you have there in front of you?
Well, this is what Rick gave me. But I can go get my request where I did the actual. I assume that they would be the same.
What does Rick say?
He has 233,000. Now the salaries. Okay, yeah, he's got
233,031.19.
That's what I have. I've
got
90. Oh, 90. I'm sorry. My 90. My eyes.
90. Actually, the total we have is 67.9. And at the bottom of the page, that's what's reflected.
67.9. I'm sorry.
Because you put in zero for salary, but you had a note that said fair compared to others. So he added back in
last
what
year.
Was requested in 2011. That's okay. How I came to that figure, well, just so you know.
Yeah, I assumed they would get at least the same as last year, but
this would expect them
to be treated the same.
Yep, exactly.
Let me very quickly.
So I agree with the numbers that she's got. We have the same starting point.
And I didn't pull what I sent, but then there was no changes from the year before. I assumed it was the same, but I know we're not supposed to do that.
Actually, I show the 233,031.90 is a 1.2% decrease. You were approved, it looks like 236,032 last year.
That's what I have.
So.
Oh, so.
You did request 3,000 less.
Well, let's look then. See what it would have been in.
It was in.
Because we know we can't be postage, can't be.
It was in bonds?
Oh, well, that's a given. Yeah, my bonds paid for 4 years.
Okay.
So we won't have to. We save about not quite a year if we pay it. If
Right. So the bonds was the biggest area that we saw the reduction. Actually, that's where we saw the reduction.
Yeah, it would be.
In the bonds. And dues and conferences, no, it wasn't that. It was bonds. It was exactly, yeah, that was the
it
one.
It would be. It would be. I thought everything was pretty much the same.
Yeah, it was. Everything else was the same. Mm-hmm. I had $1,000 less in the tax sale. We budgeted $15,000 last year, and we have budgeted $14,000 this coming year.
Well, I just did what it cost.
Good.
Now, if we don't get a, I'm border there. If we don't, we're going to have a, and I shared that with the purchasing agent this morning. Depends how the bid comes in.
Right.
You bet. Mm-hmm. Here's what we're trying to do, which we explained Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I lost track of my days now. We're looking at everyone's approved 2011 budget, which for you was slightly less or slightly more than what you requested by about $3,000. Mm-hmm.
Close the to 2011 that. Budget, yeah, that was approved was more than what?
Than this year. So you've already submitted a little less.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah. And that's mainly mm-hmm. the bond and the tax sale.
What we're asking is for elected officials to look at what we approved and see if there's any way that they can come up with 5 to 10% less than that for 2012. For example, Jeff just left and he's reaching into one of his funds to cover X amount. For you, it's not very much. It's not compared to him anyway. It's, when I figured on the larger one, yours is, you've already done part of this. It's 11,801.65, and that less than
5% would be 224,231 is what I show. Is that what we'd like to try to get to, if it's possible?
And the amount is, well, our question is there a way that there are some of these funds for the year of 2012 that you could take from county tax maintenance? We've been through, we've looked at it. That is if it's within the parameters of Missouri law. If it's not, obviously, we can't work there.
I've spoke with the state auditor's office, getting a clarification exactly what, when the tax maintenance fund was set up, Tom Kramer from the state auditor's office came and spoke to us and was
Deputy
very
state
strict.
Auditor.
He was very strict on how it should be used and how you should document things. And everything, and I have the complete list from when we first started doing it in 2003 mm-hmm. of everything that has been spent for. I have told that line completely with it being technology, equipment. I've, from the regular budget, and also it says, but we're not living under that now because we're in a crunch. If times were right, the law doesn't permit it. They set it so this budget isn't lowered because the tax maintenance fund is based upon this budget in the end. But I have always paid and continue to, and I took it, it's not even in this budget anymore, our professional services for online payments or all of that, mm-hmm. and any equipment purchased, anything that, but I continue to pay the postage, the subscriptions, and I feel we need a line to know exactly what it's costing us. So it's clear those are paid out of that budget. So it leaves more money in the tax maintenance fund because I don't use it for those, and then I pay to the county in one direct check that. And if we look at the tax maintenance fund, like I said, I think you'll see that the minimal is spent for what could be spent. It's never had salaries, but this is what we also were told, is do not be paying your employees' salaries out of it and told why and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I had always assumed that was part of the statutory, the way the statute read. But Mark from the reader, I believe his name is, from the auditor's office told me that he knew why Tom would have told us that, but actually in the statute he doesn't see. But as to pay, to cut any of these, when I did the budget, I tried to look at that carefully. Instead, and we go out for bid on supplies and everything, even when it's not required. I get a comparison, not a bid. Quotes. What I have budgeted was $120,000 going to the county GCR and $100,000 going in to pay for the programmer. Now, when I did that at the time, not the programmer. I'm sorry, the new program that the collector should have had, but they didn't have it. The assessor's program, as you know, that was paid out, and we paid out the various things that pertain to that. I will have to, if that program gets done, and it's got to get done and approved, I will have to buy all new printers because they have to be printers that will work on...
compatible to the new system.
Yeah, and it's and so that's 11 printers. So what is left in that fund when I made the budget at that time was $13,000, but now I just got from Mary to see what was in it right now. I just grabbed it. So we're talking 120 and 100. So that would leave $21,000 right now, and that's in, but we will each month as you collect it. But
here's my question. You had a fund balance to start the year of $241,271.
That was before the county took their okay, thank you. I'll hush.
No, that's okay. And yes, you have done that, and I know that Missouri law bases it, correct me because I don't know the exact formula. Mm-hmm. An amount that is mandatorily due to general county revenue based upon expenditures within your office or half the expenditures within your office. And so anything over such and such annually comes across. My question is, first, what we're trying to do is to find that 5% so we can offer employees a pay increase because it's been so long. That's why we're doing this. Right. We're hoping it'll be a one-time event, which is why we're trying to utilize some of the funds that we don't have any mandatory control over. That's your fund. The recorder's fund is the recorder's fund. And we appreciate the fact, as I do especially, what you're doing on the new software this year for the assessor's office, for the collector's office. That's huge, and I appreciate what Bob's done throughout the courthouse and what he's done with tech. You've got a line, and I was hoping that you would consider that, within your county tax maintenance fund, Sheila, that's called and designated contingency fund. So you set up $153,270 within this year, within the year of 2012, above what you anticipate spending on equipment, tech, and passing through to the county. And we're hoping that you would consider making your contingency fund a little bit less, and it would help us build a budget.
That is projected money. It's not money that I have.
Well, it's money that during the year...
that I should each month.
You will have, though. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying you want monthly, then, to pay all of that as it comes in?
Well, if we can make this budget a little less, what we're saying is we're thinking that you could supplement what you need from there for expenses that are allowable under law, certainly not expenses that are not allowable under law. What we'd like to do is, what's the figure, Jim, on the...
A 5% reduction from the 236 is 224, and which is a difference of $8,800 from where we are right now. So $8,800 just gets us 5%.
And if there are expenses that, whatever is available, whether it's supplies and freight or whether it's $1,200 to training, we don't have a lot of areas.
Total. Could you pay for the tax sale out of the 850 account? The tax sale pumper part of it.
Yes, I'll have the money for that time. It needs to be left in this line item, so that but I will have the money.
Okay.
And we do have that many delinquent taxes.
Right.
And
If we could get you to consider adding to the 120 transfer to GCR that amount, I can build that into revenues, and that would cover.
Sure would. And then we're fine.
And then we're fine. That would work.
And why do you have it, obviously?
It's, okay, if the transfer The way I read the statute, it takes place after December 31st because you have to see what's... and when you make your budget in September, you base it upon the estimate then. So the amount that was on the budget for GCR is $120,000. And so if at the end of December that the fund goes so that I will still have the money in there to pay for printers and the projected... Mm-hmm.
But sometime during the year, because it doesn't have to be a one-time expense, those additional funds could come, whether they're in June or July or August, as long as they come into the revenues.
Well, I'm sorry, I've done that in the past when, say, the IT department needed a server or something. They had me transfer to GCR instead of me pay for it out of the fund, transfer to GCR. Right. And I've asked on audits on that, and they said it doesn't matter either way.
Right.
But that was the way we've done it.
You said something in Rhonda. We have found that we have to upgrade some software downstairs in the IS department. It's a little bit of software.
What number is that? Actually, the software that you're talking about is related to the new program.
Right.
We went through that yesterday with Mark.
Mark.
And it's
135 is the department number.
135. Thank you.
And it, he was supposed to talk to you. I don't know if he had a chance to talk to you or not.
Who's he?
Mark.
Mark Riss.
There's a $5,000 piece of software we have to upgrade downstairs because of the Village GIS. It's on line item 135.50.041. Ron.
Is it a server? I bought a new server for us and the assessor's personal property. And is it a server or?
I believe it's backup software. For us to do backup. The software we have doesn't work anymore because of the new version.
And it's how much?
$5,000 when he said in his budget. He's
actually, he gave us like three lines yesterday, Jim.
Well, I mean, that's
no
problem.
Have you talked to him since
then? Yesterday? You had him yesterday or you had him 2 days ago? 2 days ago is when I met with him. When we met with him on Tuesday. And when it all came down to, I made one line item, which was on the side. It said ArcView software, 5,000 of the 13,000 requests. 5,000 was because of Village GIS, is what he said.
Okay, my apologies. I thought that. Did he come back yesterday? Mark? No? Okay.
Are they wanting
I'm sorry.
To do that now?
For next year, for 2012.
Have I been drinking coffee?
But,
not enough, I've been
I
don't.
Need no more.
Mark was supposed to get with you. I don't know if you had a chance.
No. And I've been kind of going circles there.
Yeah, you're busy over there right now.
So, but 5,000 is no problem because we'll have here by mid-January, I'll have the December, settled, and
right.
then the figure will change. Although this figure changes less in December because this figure is based upon delinquent taxes. Now, what I had understood from, I've had people come in that... in regard to statements that were made on Channel 10 that I did not personally hear myself, in regard to the collector's fund, we would depend on whether or not the employees got raises or something.
What we said at the meeting the other day was we had different options, and we had a slide as to how we could make budget. We had a PowerPoint.
I saw that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Aside from the comments that we made when you were here,
I don't know. A couple of people told me that this must be more.
How coincidental.
Here's your brain.
I don't know about what was said. Was it a separate interview?
Well,
what was the
it was an interview with you. They said, and that you referenced the collector's fund.
The gentleman behind the camera said, what type of funds are out there? And I said, we have special funds that are in the sheriff's department, that are in the prosecutor's department, that are in the recorder's department, collector's department. I said there are special funds all throughout county government that have been designated by the General Assembly. Now, obviously, I didn't say the whole thing that I said because it was only a snippet, but your fund was not picked out of all the funds out there.
Well,
actually, I tried to think of everyone I could think of when I said that.
It prompted me because it had been asked about salaries in the fund. So that's why I called the state auditor to get good clear. And it's kind of like I thought you preferred me being conservative in that budget than turning over to County GCR all that I could. If you want to set the payroll up and come out of that fund they said that it wasn't meant for that, but
we're
there's
not,
no statute.
We're not after that. We're not doing that. What we're trying to do is find 5% across the board in every department.
That's all we're trying to do is find 5%.
But you see, it's just going to come. It would mean less in the end.
We were just trying to help you to maintain your budget by supplementing it somewhere else rather than just giving it up. And we thought that might be an alternative. That was it.
All we're looking for is, looks like $8,800 is all we're looking for.
And you've got that. And like I said, I told Rick this morning, the 120 that is programmed in after December closes, that can grow. It will not be any less, but it can grow depending on what.
So you're saying we could put 128 possibly in there then, in that line item?
Well, I'm saying as far as the, I'm extremely comfortable that we're going to collect that much.
Right.
Before. It's not there now, but I'm extremely comfortable.
Let me restate it. Mm-hmm. If you allow us to put the 128 there and move your contingency down 8,000,
we're fine.
We're fine. Okay. We can make a budget. You're not going to give it to us if you don't have it.
And we know that.
Well, I don't want to be in jeopardy of not having the money for the printers if we get this new.
We don't want you to be in jeopardy of not having the money.
Because I think your printers you budgeted in there for
$15,000. Yes, don't know what they'll cost.
We have to make a budget, and that is a way for us to do it legally on paper.
Okay.
If we're short $3,000,
$4,000,
$5,000,
we have
an emergency fund. So.
No problem.
Okay.
And
obviously, you don't transfer, but you don't have it.
Well, and I would expect it, think it would be greater, but I don't know that. And I'm not going to put it down unless I see. The other thing was...
Sheila, what we want to do, I want to be clear so that there's not a mistake. We want to subtract out that much from your GCR budget.
Mm-hmm. You want the 120?
Or we want to leave it in and add the revenue.
I would just rather add the revenue.
Let's do that.
And then it makes it real clean because it's still an office expense. So let's just add the revenue. Right now, we
take care of all your other.
Your $120,000 you put in the $850 budget. We have already accounted for that as a revenue stream into GCR. Okay. What we're saying is, if we could up your $120 to $128 into GCR,
then we're done.
Up my $120 to $128. Uh-huh. I'll change my.
And then we'll lower your contingency by $8,000 in your $850 budget, and then we're done.
I will change mine. Now, something I discussed with Rick this morning, he said he would note that down, but it could get approved from you guys before he would see it. And the final payment to villages when they get it's in here to be transferred, but I do not want that paid until we see that program is 100% working.
I agree. I 100% agree.
So it'll be.
So let us tell you right now, it's not going to be paid until you all agree.
And so I was transferring it to him, and I told him with a separate line. I mean, I'm transferring the amount that I put to GCR, and then I'm transferring that $100,000. I'm writing them up separate when I send them in.
Correct.
So that.
No, I agree. We don't want to pay for any software until we know it's working and installed properly, and the glitches and the programming that it's working right.
Did you want to join us, Mark? Did you have some input?
No,
I was making sure I was here. If you guys had any questions about that.
Okay. What was the amount? They thought 5,000 that you said on the.
I think it was 5960 was the total amount.
6,000.
Yeah.
And it's to do a backup.
It's an upgrade that we have to upgrade the ESRI GIS software to work
with the new version.
With the new village GIS.
The GIS for the assessor brings over his.
Yes.
Yeah.
So is that right to add that into the equipment purchases? I mean, that's what I would do is. In the 850, I would make that change.
When that comes in, would this not be the when do you anticipate getting that?
I think that you just need to approach Sheila.
And then I just need to transfer it out.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And then that she went on to budget. Yeah. She just can come out of contingency whenever it happens.
Do you have any idea when you would do that?
It might be when the village.
His budget is still funded.
People can't tell us to do it. Okay. So.
Gotcha. I was trying to get him to his 5%. That's what we were after.
That's what I was trying to help him too. Okay. We're good.
Okay. Sheila, thank you very much.
Okay. Are my girls going to be treated, if raises are given, are they going to be treated like all other employees?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome. See you.
Your input was invaluable.
I try to help.
Like that next.
Before you do that, I got to do some subtraction. So I'm going to the 850 line item just now.
All right. I'm there.
We've got 2 minutes, Randy. I've increased the transfer GCR to 128 up from 120. Okay. I've also reduced the contingency now to 145, 270, 90. Is that what you come up with?
Yes.
Okay. My question was this. If we know she's going to, oh, that Ms. Wyatt has just agreed to pay for that upgrade, if I put it in this equipment purchases, I can take it out of IS's, and that reduces IS's budget by $6,000. That means I would have to increase the equipment purchases by $6,000 and reduce contingency by another $6,000.
That's what that means.
Is that what you want to do?
Well, it needs to be in one budget or the other.
Right.
If it's in the other, we don't show...
A reduction?
The reduction that's needed to say we hit that mark. Although we can say that it's funded somewhere else and verbally account for that when asked. I'm just... It makes no difference to me.
I would rather be funded. It's a one-time expenditure. The collector's been very, very helpful to pay for this upgrade that we couldn't normally afford, so...
Move the 15 to 9?
No, move the 15 to 21.
Okay.
And then reduce the...
145, 270 by...
By 6,000, be 139.
270, 95.
Okay.
I'm on it.
I'm making that comment on that. Now, go over to Department 135, please. Is it 135? Is that what I told you earlier? 135. Reduce line item 135.50.041 by $6,000, making that number now 6,000. Okay. 135.50.041, it should be a request of 13,785.
Got it.
Reduce that down to six. You know, to $7,775. 7785.
And the total down to
400,735.
So I had a total going into that prior to a 406,735.
That's correct. You just took 6,000 out. So it should go to
right
four.
On the number.
Okay. One more thing. Now go to your revenue tab. And Jan just heard, if you just heard Jan, that's how many departments we just touched by doing one adjustment. We had to go to four tabs. That's how. So if you go to the transfer in from the tax maintenance fund, which is 101.85.027, I showed that number is incorrect anyway. What did you have in there?
120,000.
I have 100 in mind, but now it's going to be 128.
Yours is incorrect.
No, thank you.
Now, that's what it's going to stay, so I'm red.
128.
Actually, we have several differences
in
revenues because Rick and I pumped we'll catch up considerably.
So I've now saved that. And we've now completed that entire single line item transaction.
We've got R&B. Can we stay in a recess for 5 minutes? Sorry.
5 minutes, he asked for. But since he's the big cheese, he gets it.